Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you, seeking your word, seeking your heart, seeking your answers. Father, we just ask that you would help us to get what you have for us for the subject. Help us to understand your heart in this matter. Help us to understand what the Spirit is saying in this matter. Father, we also know that you said that whatsoever we bind upon this earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose upon this earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we, along with the heavens, because we're not by ourselves, bind the enemy from operating today in any way to block the word of the Most High, what you have to say to us. We bind the enemy right now along with the heavens. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Amen. I'd like to make a few observations before I begin, because I was just thinking about this subject, not just last night, really. I've been thinking about it a while. And one thing I've learned is, what the Bible says, we know all things. It does say that. It talks about you have an unction from the Holy Spirit and knoweth all things, and need not that any man should teach you. Now, because we don't understand that unction, because we don't live our lives in a way, sometimes, where we can hear the Holy Spirit clearly, then we do need teachers and so forth. You know, so I know that there's a place in the church, apostles, teachers, evangelists, and all these things. But what I'm saying is, they'll share what they have, but the Most High is going to give, is going to, by the Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. I say this before I begin sharing scriptures, because I've learned a pattern that's going on with a lot of studies. Everybody is flipping through the Bible. What's the problem? Everybody's going to scripture after scripture after scripture. What's the problem? Some of the sharpest people are in at the top of each denomination. I'm not talking about little layman people. I'm talking about every major denomination. The smartest people at the top, those are the ones that's really causing all the problems. They can't get along with other people as far as being able to agree on different things. So what I'm saying this to say, let's listen to the Holy Spirit even after this phone call is up, because the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and you can learn more in 2 minutes than I can do in 2 days. So what I'm saying to you is this. Let's be open to the Holy Spirit. I'm very serious. This is if you're having a Bible study with me or the next person, and I'm not going to assume everybody knows what I'm saying, because just as sure as I start to study, somebody may not understand what I'm saying. I'm saying to you that we have the answer already inside. When this study is done, or when Terry does his study, or anybody does their study, oftentimes you will say, I thought that was it. I'm trying to resurrect, if it's dead in you, I'm trying to resurrect that part of us right now. Because once we understand that it's already in us, we don't need Brother Seth or anybody really to elaborate on something we've been talking about so long. So I'm going to share these scriptures, and it's going to be a lot of the same scriptures we've heard over and over and over. So what's going to make the difference? The Holy Spirit has to. Ain't going to be me, no matter how quiet I am or animated I can get sometime. That's not going to change it. The Holy Spirit is going to have to reveal any of this to anybody. So having said that, let's turn to Romans. We'll start in Romans. We'll go several places. And I think we're going to have to do a lot of reading today instead of just kind of hitting chapters and jumping around. I think we got to understand what Paul is really saying. Now, I want you to concentrate on the words we, us, versus you. See how many times he's talking about the Romans, and see how many times he's talking about us and we. Okay, let's start with Romans. Let's start with Romans 5. And if somebody could read that for me, I really would appreciate it. Romans 5, please.
I can get that for you, sir. Am I just you're welcome. Reading the entire chapter?
The entire chapter, absolutely.
Okay. All right, then feel free to stop me if you have a comment to make. I'm starting out with Romans 5, verse 1, and it reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory."
John, hold on right there. Now, most people just read right over that, but you just ended our Bible study. That is it. Nice talking to y'all. No, for real. I mean, we read over these scriptures, but did you just listen to what you just said? It said, "Therefore, being justified, just as if I never sinned," as some people would say, "just as if I never sinned, therefore being justified by faith." I'm sorry. We have peace with God. Is somebody saying something?
I think that's Gary. Gary, I think that's your phone picking up. You there, Gary?
Gary, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think you're picking up feed background noise on your phone, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm just hanging up. I'm here now. I'll call when I get back inside.
Okay.
Okay, so it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, and I'm just going to read this just the way it reads, because that's just, you know, I want everybody to feel comfortable, and everybody don't understand all these different names. It's still in debate. So I'm just going to, I don't normally say Jesus Christ. I normally say Yeshua or the Messiah or something like that. But for reading's sake, so everybody be comfortable, we just say it as we read it, okay? So you're doing a good job, John. But it says, "We have peace through the Messiah." We have peace through the Messiah. That's all we're looking for, is peace. This whole walk is about having peace with the Most High. That's what it's all about. That is the purpose that the law was first given, so that the Israelites would be able to perform these rituals, slay that lamb, and be able to walk and have a relationship with the Most High. The fact that they don't, well, I'll get into that in a minute. Okay, and then you also read, "By whom we also have access." We have access. What else is this whole walk about other than access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? So all that jumbo there, there's a lot being said right there. This is what it's all about, that we have access to the Father and to His goodness wherein we stand. I mean, it's just right there. I just don't want to blow over that. But go ahead with 3 and the rest.
Sure. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man will some, and I'm sorry, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death so passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by...
Hold on for a second.
Hey, Seth, before you go on, real quick, tell the people, like, the title of the message or what, you know what I mean, like, or what you're trying to get to, pretty much. Because I think we just started reading, and who's ever listening in, they might not know, you know, what the lesson is about or the objective or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you... Okay, I gave that to Gary, and I thought it transferred to you. But, no, what we're going to be talking about today is law versus grace, okay, and covering the sin issue, okay, sin and sinning and the flesh and how it sins versus the spirit, how it empowers us to live right. So it's not really a title. All of that is what we're going to be covering. So, you know, every message don't have to have a title per se, but that is what we're going to be discussing, and that's our goal. We're going to be talking about, again, the law versus grace. The law versus grace is what the Bible said. Pretty much been talking about the last, I guess, 6 weeks. And but we are going to be talking about the whole question of sin, because people say, well, wait a minute, you sound like you sin. We can just sin. So we definitely got to get into the sin question and the flesh versus the spirit that empowers us to live a holy life. Okay? So that's pretty much it.
Great.
John, go. Okay. All right, now let me finish what I was going to say here. You had got down to verse number 18, I believe. Correct?
I wanted to speak about,
look at verse number 12. I just didn't want you to go too far without me commenting on this. Okay, it's all self-explanatory. I almost just want to read and not say nothing. But sometimes we read over these scriptures and we see things, and, you know, different ones see different things. But again, like I said earlier, as 1 John 2 and 27 says, I believe it is 2 and 27, where it talks about that the anointing which you have received abideth in you, and you don't need that any man should teach you. That's 1 John, if you want to dot that somewhere, 1 John 2 and 27. In other words, every word we need is already in us. But if you look at verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have no problem with that revelation. None. Everybody believes since Adam and Eve did what they did, we all have to face death, you know, and different things happen to us today because of their mistake. We all understand that. It's just the next part that we have a hard time believing. I think it's because a lot of us have low self-esteem. A lot of us just can't believe that something as good as a gift of righteousness can even exist. And that is the problem with this study and many other studies. Some people just find it hard to believe, and including me sometimes. If I understood and appreciated the gift that the Most High gave me, I wouldn't ever sin. If I'm going to say it again. If we really understood the fact that the Most High, that righteousness is a gift that he gave, and we was really appreciative of that gift, and we really sought for what it is, that would mean we are righteous. We would see ourselves white and clean. We wouldn't have a need to sin. I'm going to say it another way, the way Fred Price put it, because sometimes you have to expound like this. Fred Price was saying righteousness is like a big hole in the ground. You walk by, you're dirty, you dress kind of dirty, casual. Somebody's working a big old mud hole, and they say, hey, jump down here and help me, and I'll give you $200, or I'll give you $100. And you say, hey, man, you don't give me $100? Sure. So you jump down that muddy hole. Why? Because you see yourself already muddy or dirty. You go ahead and help him and get that out and get that $100. A lot of people do that. But now the next day you're walking by, you got on a white three-piece suit, you clean, nice shoes, everything, you know, you looking GQ'd up. Walk by the same hole, the same guy, say, I want to offer you $100, gentlemen, and help me clean out this hole. You would say, no way, man. And he said, why not? You would say, I'm clean. I'm too clean. That's how sin is. I've never forgot that parable, or whatever we want to call it. I've never forgot that because that's exactly what righteousness is. Having said that, let's continue reading. Okay, so we know that death passed upon all men through Adam. 13 verse says, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. There absolutely cannot be sin where there is no law. So we start talking about this person, that person's sin, you're going to have a law. So we read yesterday that Christ is the end of the law. We read many other scriptures. We're going to read even more scriptures. And there's more scriptures I can give you that we won't even be able to cover that basically say we're no longer under the law. It don't mean we just run rampant and don't keep commandments. Of course we keep commandments because we love the Most High. The Holy Spirit is saying, don't do this, don't do that. Somebody looking at us going to say, oh, I know you're a believer. Why? Because you got all these laws you keep. That's them talking. We're not under it. Just because we keep commandments don't make us under the commandments. Righteousness has been given to us as a gift. So, again, verse 13, bears reading again, for until the law of sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is the figure of him that was to come. Okay, and then we read, but not as the offense, so also is the gift, is the free gift. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if, though the offense of one, many be dead, this is what I was trying to drive it right here, much more, I love those two words probably more than any two words in the whole New Testament. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and those two words is what do it. Much more. Because everybody's stuck on what Adam did. How we're so dead. how we just all, you know, curse. It said, okay, Adam did his thing, but much more. The grace of the Most High. And the gift by grace. The gift by grace. It's going to be given just because, which is by one man, the Messiah, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, free I think means you don't have to work for it. If we work for it, it's not a gift anymore. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I mean, we can end the Bible study right there. Why don't we get it? Why do we keep having to read in all these scriptures? It's saying it right there. If we would just get the revelation of that, we can go on to something else. But mankind will look at this scripture and come up with all kinds of things. And this is what I want to talk about a little bit. Because I really feel like the word is spoken many times, the same thing. Again, like 1 John 2:27 say, and I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read that real quick because it bears hearing again. Okay? 1 John 2:27 says, and this is in the King James Version, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, as is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's 1 John 2:27. Okay, so just jumping back over here. John, you can go ahead and let's see which one did I end off at. I'm slipping through different tabs, so y'all bear with me here. Okay, I think you stopped at 18, is that right?
Yeah.
Let me just finish. Okay, let me just go ahead and just make it down to 18. It says in 16, verse 16 says, "And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," and we have no problem believing that, much more, there go that much more, "they which receive abundance," thank God for its abundance of grace, "and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, or Yahushua, whatever you call it." Okay? The solution is, the key thing in here is the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Much more. Okay, Adam blew it for us. Much more. Okay? I just don't want to take these scriptures for granted, because we do it all the time. We're stumbling over the very things we need, but we just want to keep on going, reading, flipping. When if one scripture do it, it should do it, okay? All right, so go ahead, John, and start again. Just read 18 and finish up this chapter, and we'll go on to chapter 5.
Sure. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For
okay, now,
one man,
John, I can't let you go. You know I can't let you go past that one. Now, that right there is just the queen. I mean, that is just unreal. I love this scripture. Again, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." There it is, the word justification of life. Okay, I want to just do something real quickly here and give you what the Strongs have to say about this as far as being justified. Bear with me here. I'm going to look this up. Just bear with me. Any comments so far before I go any further?
Good scriptures.
It's still just you and I, you and Terry, correct?
No, Gary's online. Gary, you there, right?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, all right. Now, when I go to Romans 5 and I go to the Strongs and look up the word justification, I want you guys to hear what this Strongs renders with this. Okay, justification is going to be Strong's number 1347, 1347 in the Hebrew. This, I'll let you hear it. This is exactly what the Strongs have to say about this word, 1347. I'm just going to play it. They got it now where you can actually play it and hear the Hebrew. So,
Strong's G, 1347. Dikaiosis.
Okay, dikaiosis, that is what the Hebrew rendering of that is, and it says under that, the justification or defense of a cause, sentence of condemnation, okay, or judgment in reference of what is just, the act of God declaring man free from guilt and acceptable to him, okay, that's what it says for justification. Did everybody get that? I'll read it one more time here. It said, the justification or defense of a cause, sentence of condemnation, judgment in reference to what is just, the act of God declaring men free from guilt and acceptable to him. Acceptable to him. So if we're acceptable to him, what else do we need? I mean, really, what else is there to talk about? If we're acceptable to the Most High, what else is there? So that's what we seek for, to be acceptable in his sight. Okay, so go ahead, John. I think you was about to read 19.
For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Now, I mean, normally, if I was just reading this, and I think this happened with my own personal life, everybody got a testimony. I think when I read this right here, I didn't have to go no further. But everybody's different, because there's other things y'all get quicker and I struggle with. So it's just a matter of listening to the Holy Spirit and just listening to just that voice, because we can end this Bible study really right now based upon what you just said. Again, it's, I'm saying kind of the same thing over, but that's what the Scripture is saying, the same thing over. Okay? For it's by one man's disobedience were many made sinners. We all got a PhD in there. We know we ain't nothing but some dirty sinners. Saved by grace is what we say. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law in it, that the offense might abound. Why do we have a law then, Seth? Moreover, the law in it, that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more. I love that much more. That's what delivered me. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the Messiah our Lord. Okay? Now let's go into Romans 5.
If I can, comment, sir.
I'm sorry?
I said, could I make a comment?
You can make a comment.
Appreciate it. You know, yesterday I was explaining to you guys that the last week I was in the midst of whatever I was doing, so I missed a lot of the Sabbath study. This week I was again in the midst of this. I was very tired. And so when you all were speaking about grace, righteousness, eternal life, justification, the differences between these, so on and so forth. This scripture really wraps it all up in a very succinct manner, to the point that I feel a whole lot better about grace, justification, righteousness, eternal life, because it looks to be that all of that has already been mentioned within 21 verses right here, and it speaks very, very clearly. The concern that I have is that sounds great. Now, when I'm listening to Terry give his lessons, and Terry is speaking on things that pertain to the law, while that doesn't sound great to me, I do recognize the fact that Jehovah said specifically, do not do this, do not do this, don't eat this, don't sleep with this person, so on and so forth. This is that, the other. Now, we have Jehovah back in the Old Testament speaking about these things, and the thing that he always says is that this is to be done forever. And so, to me, Terry's position is forever means forever. I'm inclined to believe that forever was supposed to be forever if they kept their part of the covenant, but they weren't supposed to. I believe that was part of the mystery. And now that this new covenant is in place, what all the 21 verses that we've just read are now in place. So the thing is that I believe that you could go and find a litany of additional scriptures, but to me, what you've already read pretty much lays out the specifics. The problem is that there's a variance between what you've just stated and what Terry might state. And to me, that's the area of concern. Why is it that Jehovah says forever, but it means something other than forever. It was something specific to the Hebrews, which we are, but now we're talking about something, these last 21 verses, this is something that, I'm inclined to believe that Terry embraces these 21 verses. Can these 21 verses coexist with the law? That's my question to both Terry and Seth. And I'll be honest with you, Terry, it's kind of biased because I don't think that they can coexist. I think
Well, John, if I may jump in here, it's
sure.
to me is we the law was introduced to send me about. I used to hear Andrew Womack say this, and I thought it was the craziest thing, and then I started thinking caused him to be suspect. But he used to say, people, the law was given to show you you can't do it. What? The law was given to show you, to bring man to its end. Otherwise, man would be constantly trying to please the Most High in their own efforts. And that just sounded so off to me. Why would the Most High give Israel something he know they couldn't do? Because if he'd have just gave us righteousness first, we'd be saying, well, why didn't you allow us to do it? You don't trust us? Why didn't you allow us to be righteous in our own terms? But anyway, let's finish reading the scriptures. I mean, but I hear what you're saying, but to me, it's just crystal clear. I'm not just, again, if some areas I'm a little slow in, it'll take me months and years. I understand it took me almost 5 years to even accept we're Israel. Some people learn it in a week. But this right here, when I walked in and gave that man my life, and he said, son, Christ has taken away your sin. It was the Most High, but still he said, Christ has taken away your sin. It was through Christ's blood, but I understand what he's saying. Your sins are washed away. Why? You know, I'm thinking that. What made me so clean? It's just clear. This is what we learned when we first got saved. We just complicated it. Your sins is taken away. Yeah, we say we're supposed to ask for forgiveness. The Bible says that. But the truth of the matter is we've been forgiven for past, present, and future sin. Sin no longer hinders our relationship with the Most High in any way, form, or fashion. Sin now dwells in our flesh. Our flesh is not saved. Our flesh is not redeemed. Our spirit man is born of God. If I get a chance to read this, 1 John 3, we're going to look at how you can't even, it says that you can't sin. The seed that's inside of you is born of the Most High. It can't sin because that thing that's born of the Most High is from the Most High. It ain't from you. That can't falter. You can falter, but that's inside of you that's born of the Most High, we'll read that later. Okay, let's just focus on Romans 5. But, John, hopefully I gave a little bit of insight on that. But like I said, the law, it's just, to me, it's just clear as day. It was introduced to bring sin into the picture. Now we all see sin. We all run into the throne of the Most High saying, help us, help us. We all are so dirty. Sin was inner that we know what dirt was.
Right.
I said that wrong. The law was introduced that sin may abound. I mean, we just read that.
Mm-hmm.
We just read it. It was introduced. So we're going to believe it or not. It was introduced. Paul said, I was without sin one, then I learned the law, then sin was introduced. Yes, the law, then he goes on to say, is the law incorrupt? But we'll read that because it's going to come up again here. But let's start with Romans 5 and 1.
Hey, Seth, I got one quick question for you.
Go ahead.
So do you think that once someone, say, accepts the Messiah, then at that point you may say, okay, they'll receive eternal life and have faith? Now, if that same person, can they, of course, I know you say they shouldn't do that, but say if that same person just go throughout their whole life after that point they accepted the Messiah and just never, you know, never really worship the Messiah, I mean worship the Almighty, never really live, you know, the type of life that we would say would be a good Christian life. What if that person was just like a murderer and an adulterer and just a very wicked, horrible person, you know, and just killed, like, millions of people, like, say, a lot of people would say Hitler or somebody. Well, what if Hitler, when he was, I don't know, 10 years old, sitting in the church and said, and he accepted Messiah as his personal savior and had faith, but then went through the rest of his life, you know, being responsible for killing millions of people and things of that sort. So the question is, do you think anyone can, like, lose their salvation by doing certain acts?
I think the Most High gives us free will, that we can't reject the free gift. If you're crazy enough to reject the free gift, then you're damned. That's the only thing I think that's going to really be in the lake of fire. Okay, but I will answer your question by asking you a question. If you sin in one area, or make it a comment, rather. If you sin terribly in one area of your life, and if you sin in one area of your life, if sin could be put to your account, let's forget about the blood of Christ right now. If you could sin and the Most High hold it against you, I don't care if you lied. You'd be the same as the murderer. I'm going to say it again. In the Most High's point of view, one sin is the same as it's a pedophile. Go figure. To me and you, no. We don't make that. We like, no, the pedophile is worse. Let's kill him right now. I mean, that's how we think. But the Most High, this is a holy being. He cannot stand in the presence of sin. So when we start comparing sins, yeah, you're right. I'm with you, Terry. Somebody doing all that, I don't think they're supposed to deserve eternal life. Fry them. But the Most High already knew our nature. He already knew he was going to be acting up. I think that will be his call. Only God can judge, Tupac say. But I'm serious. I'm very serious. I really don't think we have the power to even understand the depth and the width of the love of the Most High. And that would be his call. My call, Terry, would be they probably, if they that wicked, Satan, his whole job is to get us away from the Most High. So they're going to reject the Most High and his free gift, even if he gave it to them. They're going to say, I don't want this righteousness. They're going to look at him and curse him in the face. If they're killing people and doing all that, they'll probably do that. And if they reject the free gift, he's not going to force it on you. But like we read, by Adam, condemnation, death reigned upon all people. Some of them was good. Some of them did a few things right, but death reigned on them. Just look at it before the blood came, before Christ died. Some of them was good. They was still death. The condemnation still was over their head.
So do you think there will be very people that will actually get damnation? You think like the majority of the people, whoever who lived since the Messiah came, will actually receive eternal life, like the majority of people in the world?
That's what it says when it says Christ went into the grave and preached into the spirits. What does that mean? I'm just saying this thing is deep, man. What about those that never heard? What about those that never heard about Christ at all, ever? See, that's a whole other Bible study. Christ, Yeshua, or Yahawashah, as we know it, the Bible says for those that never even heard about him, they're going to be judged by something different. It's called their conscience. So Christ, really the name Christ, the word name, N-A-M-E, name means character and authority. According to the Strong's Concordance, we can look it up if you want. It means character and authority. So you can be operating in somebody's name without knowing their name. I know that's a whole other Bible study. But you can be operating in the name of Christ without even having heard who Christ is. That's why the Bible said these people are going to be judged by their conscience. But anyway.
Was that a yes or a no that you think the majority of people will be receive eternal life?
Without sounding whatever, is what I just said, all that. Only the Most High can judge them. I don't have no place in hell or heaven to put them people in. I would think, just based upon me and you, we probably want to send them straight to hell. That's my take on it. But the Most High, according to what we're reading here, just like death fell upon good people, death fell
right.
upon righteous people, hold on, death fell upon all types of people that lived before Christ. Death ruled on all them people, man. I don't care how good they were, how bad they were. They all was condemned under death because of Adam's transgression. The Bible say, much more shall all men, all, we can't say, well, except this person, you're not getting in, all men, the gift
Right, I understand that. That's why I'm asking you the question, like, for clarification. Is that what you're saying? Like, when you read that scripture, is that how you're teaching it, that pretty much the majority of all people will receive eternal life? Is that what you're saying?
Jeremy, I'm saying what you just read, and I don't mean to sound no other way. I promise you, what I'm saying, it ain't about what I'm saying. It's about what the scripture's saying.
Okay, so is that a yes or a no? Is that what you're saying?
I'll tell you what. Let's read a little bit more, and it'll be clear as we read.
It was kind of clear. Well, let me just do this. Like, I don't understand, like, if we ask a direct question, like, why can't we just get a direct answer from, is it a yes or no? Because it sounds like that's what you're saying. But
no,
I just want to know, and then the listener audience may think the same thing I'm thinking. They may think, yeah, it sounds like that is what he's saying. You know, and if you are, then just, if you're not saying it, say no. If you don't know, just say, I don't know, you know?
Terry, every answer can't be yes or no. And when you can't put somebody in that, you can't pigeonhole people like that. If somebody say, I don't know, that's a third. I don't know is a third answer.
Right. I'm saying. So is that your answer? I don't know.
My answer is not a yes or no. My answer is, that's a good question. Only God can judge.
Can I say something?
That's my answer.
Go ahead.
Okay. John, go ahead and pick up 5 and 1, please.
Can I say something first, Seth?
5 and 1. I'm sorry.
Can y'all
go ahead,
hear me?
John. Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Seth, I was asking if I could say something before I read 5 and 1.
Go right ahead.
Okay. The question, Terry, that you're putting to Seth, is such that I think that true enough, it's God's call as to, is it going to be the greater number of persons or a lesser number of persons? But I think that he's made it abundantly clear that the path that leads to eternal life is a very narrow path. And wide is the path that leads to damnation. And it seems to be throughout all that we read as it pertains to the Most High that it has always been the lesser number of persons, a fraction of Israel, a fraction of numbers of persons who are actually the ones who are his people, so it seems. And so to me, whatever that number might be, or whatever that ratio might be, to me, it will not negate the fact that they're there because of the gift of righteousness that was given them, as it was given you, myself, Seth, Gary. I'm under the assumption that we've all been given this gift. The question is, which, and you've given me more insight into this, and you made me think and search out very hard, where does the law come into play? Well,
now, John,
to me, yes.
I think the next verse is right where y'all at right now. I mean, it's kind
I'll
of,
read
it's
it.
It's literally saying, what shall we say then? That's what Terry is trying to ask me, really. Seth, what are you trying to say? We can just sin? That's what he really asking me.
That's not what I'm asking, because I think that's already clarified. You done told me numerous of times that you believe we should keep the law. So that's not what I'm asking. I was asking because based on the way you was teaching the verse, I got the interpretation that, wait a minute, just about most of the world will receive eternal life, except for a very small amount of people, since the Messiah came. So that was my question. If your answer is you don't know, okay, fine, just go ahead.
Terry, you can get those perceptions. As a person teaching, John, I hadn't forgot, I want you to finish. But as a person teaching, you're going to get all kind of perceptions. But as I finish, I'm hopefully it'll change. But that's and whatever you get at the end, because it's going to be scriptures mostly talking, then let that be, you know, what the Holy Spirit is saying. So again, you need not that any man should teach you. Go ahead, John, what you were saying.
Well, I'll let your next scripture answer the question. That you said 5:1, but that's what we just read. Were you
six,
referring to a different chapter?
6:1.
Okay. And it reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Know ye
hold
not
on,
that
right,
so
hold on, John, right. Again, yeah. We don't have to go no further. I'm telling you, I'm just not saying this to be facetious. We don't have to go no further in this study, man. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to illuminate this. Again, we have a hard time accepting righteousness because it just seems so unfair. But all you got to do is just think about how it was before Christ. Think about it. All those people that sin one time a year and somebody else sin 100 times, and both of them was condemned under the Most High until that lamb was killed. Is that fair? You got one guy that's sitting up like Moses, walking in the face of the Most High, he smite a rock and he can't even get to see the Holy Land, the Promised Land. You got some other knuckleheads, their kids get to see it. Is it fair? I'm just being real. But it says that, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Paul knew we would be thinking what we're thinking in 2011, that's why he said that. That grace may abound, let's go ahead and sin, that grace may abound. No, God forbid, folk. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dead to sin mean dead to sin. Why do folks want to keep making it alive to sin? You know, my family, I have family members. This is not something I'm going through with just Terry or anybody in the Bible study. This is old news, man. I was going to invite my family. I decided not to, but I was going to invite them to listen because we've talked about this forever. This is so old. This is over 20 years old conversation for me. People just want to make themselves alive to sin. Bible says you're dead to sin. If you're dead to sin, you're dead to sin. So we need to find out what part of us is dead to sin and why John and all these other people that wrote talk about how you still can sin. They're talking about sinning with your members. Our flesh is not saved. Go ahead, John.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ be raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For
John, hold on. Yeah. I just real quickly, I'm trying to do this quick so we can move along, but it ain't a matter of covering a whole lot of scriptures, but I understand what you've already read. Look where it says in 6, where it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that if the body of sin might be destroyed, the body of sin, there, the body, that's not talking about your members, that's talking about your spirit. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's why we're destroyed. Now, if you think, okay, well, sin in the members is destroyed, then how are we still sinning? We're sinning with our members, with our body. Body of sin there. That's just, it'll clarify itself as we read. But go ahead. For it says, look at verse 7 and say, well, he that is dead is free from sin. It's still talking about that body of sin. So we already know by reading in previous chapters earlier in this study that Paul had that struggle with his body versus his spirit. But go ahead.
Well, quick question, Seth. And while I see this exactly as you're explaining it, to me, logic says, why would I assume that body of sin means my spirit when it says body?
Say it again, you're breaking up.
Okay. I preface this question by saying that I understand what you're saying, and I believe it to be as you've explained it. My problem is that if I'm speaking to the next person and I'm telling him this part where it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Well, everybody knows that the body is the body. How can I say that it's actually referring to the spirit?
It, because it's like what I said, it's going to clarify itself up in a minute. Because when it's trust me, as you read, not even
okay.
the next, Okay, watch this. Listen. Therefore, not let sin reign in your mortal body. Wait a minute. You just, verse 12 says, that's why I wanted you to just go ahead and keep reading, but verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Wait a minute. If sin can reign in your mortal body, why don't you start off saying we're dead to sin? It can be confusing if you don't understand there's a spirit, there's a body, or members, as Paul called it. There's your members, sin reign in your members, and sin used to reign in our spirit. It used to reign in our spirit. Those of us that are born again, we now have the Spirit of the Most High inside of our human spirit. That's what 1 John talks about, if we can get to that a little later. So our spirit is what's born again, not our flesh. So the spirit, this body of sin, destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Who's dead? What's dead part of us? Our old spirit. Our own spirit, that's what they mean by born again. That's the part of us that's been born again. Nicodemus, can a person go to their mother's womb? He's getting it all mixed up. No, it's a spirit that's been born again. Our flesh, we still look the same. Sometimes we feel the same after we've accepted the Most High and the into our life. So let's go ahead and it'll, trust me, it'll get clearer as we read.
Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ be raised from the dead, dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin?
Hold up. Well, go ahead. Keep reading.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin.
Hold that thought, okay, John? Wait just for a second. Now, it says, what should we say then? Should we continue to sin because we're not under the law? This ain't in our Romans. I said at the beginning of the study, keep looking for the word we, us, versus you. We are not under law, but under grace. Can we just go sin? Somebody might ask, what about this murderer that done killed somebody 1,000 times, like Terry was saying? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield your self-servants to, obey his servants, ye are to whom ye obey. Now, I know some people that say, well, see, right there, saying if you yield yourself to the devil, they take grace away and throw you back in hell. It's just saying if you yield your members unto sin, you're going to reap death. You're going to probably get AIDS. Okay? It's just like you're being a servant of sin. Why do we see that as taking the gift of righteousness from these people? We got a complex here. Humanity wants to always punish people. That's just how we think. But as you keep reading, it's gonna talk about how you're righteous again. Yeah, you can be the servant of sin and have the gift of righteousness inside you. Are you kidding me? Look at it like this. Our flesh is never saved. Even if your spirit is dominating your life, your spirit and the Holy Spirit that you've been given, that spirit of righteousness, the gift of righteousness that comes with that, even if that's dominating your life, at any given point your flesh is still no good. You are as filthy then, your flesh, as you were when you was fleshed out and your flesh was dominating your life. That's what we don't get. There ain't nothing good in the flesh. Our flesh ain't saved. So if we let our flesh dominate us, we can live just like the world. That's why the only God can judge us. Only God can really see the spirit of him inside of the person, know who's righteous, who's not. But if we're looking at people's sin, We get out our little measuring stick. Well, how many people you done killed? Well, how many lies you done told? Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Okay, go ahead, John.
I'm going to pick up at verse 17. But God, hold on to righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded yourselves members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Now, check this out. Did we just get what he just said? He said now, for when ye were the servants of sin, this is under the law. That law, I'm telling you, ye were freed from righteousness. Under the law, sin is calculated. You just got a bunch of sinners. Because no man could keep the law. Or unless, I'm gonna say it the safe way. As the Bible says, ye put on us something that even our forefathers can handle. That's what happened with the law.
When you say no man could keep the law, what do you mean by that? Do you mean no man could keep it, or no man could keep it perfectly, meaning go through your whole life without committing one sin? Is that what you mean, or do you just mean no man could keep it?
I'm just going to say, like the scripture says, why put ye on us something that our forefathers couldn't handle? And if the forefathers couldn't handle it, all the other peons under them, what do you want to talk about?
I mean, some of them could handle it. It was a lot of them that could handle it, but much more that couldn't, you know?
I'm sticking with what the scripture says.
You say nobody could or no man could keep the law, what do you mean? Do you mean from his whole life, from birth to death, he'll go through his whole life without sinning one time? Or do you just mean nobody could keep it?
I'm saying that the Bible says, why, speaking of the law, I believe it's in more than one book, but it says, why are you putting this law on us that neither we can keep nor our forefathers? I don't know.
Okay,
no other
so
way
again,
to...
hey, check this out. Read this one scripture real quick. John, can you read this real quick?
Sure.
Matthew 5:37. Just read that.
All right. Matthew 5:37. And it reads, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever more than this cometh evil.
Like that. If we ask a direct question, how come we can never get a direct answer? You see what I'm saying? Let your communication be yes or no. If you could give a yes or no. If not, then just say, I don't know. You know what I mean? But that's still not answering the question that I ask. But go ahead.
Terry, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think what you don't want. Well, I don't know if you understand this or not, but I'm just going to say it because you
see,
understand
a lot. I just wanted
a
question to be answered, but you didn't answer it, so you could just go ahead.
You keep saying, can a person keep the law? Nobody can keep the law. In any way, they can't keep it. The Father said, Abraham, that's why he used Abraham. He says, blessed is the man who the law will not impute righteous, will not impute sin. That's what we need, man. Why would you want to go do something that's so hard for our foreparents to have kept? I don't understand.
Well,
I
just wanted to question that. That's it.
It's okay. But since you brought it up and it's important to you, I'm not going to run past it. You keep bringing
so the
up.
Question, so the answer to the question is, nobody can keep it, period. And anyway,
I'm saying this to you, that nobody, as far as enough that the Most High would just keep us under the law, it wasn't good enough for the Most High. If it wasn't good enough for the Most High, it ain't good enough for me. It was, whoever kept it, if you feel like they kept it, you got to go with the magnifying glass to find them, and that's not good enough. The Most High said death reigned by Adam through Christ much more, thank God for the much more, shall people reign through the Messiah. And that's what we need. We need that Abrahamic justification by faith, gift of righteousness, because this microscope type of, this person did it, Enoch did it, he got taken. Well, everybody ain't going to be an Enoch. You know where most people live. Everybody got skeletons in their closet.
Am I mistaken in saying that only Christ kept the law? Am I mistaken in saying that only one person ever kept that law perfectly and sinned not, and that was Christ? Every other person, everybody, sinned. Am I mistaken in saying that?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And they had to offer bulls and goats. Bulls and goats. Yeah, they kept it after they offered the bulls and goats. But dog,
well,
they kept it.
Go ahead.
But anyway, let me move on, because I got a lot of scriptures and more to cover, and I got to make these little interruptions because it's going to be king. Now, where do we pick up that, off at? Where do we leave off at? Okay, so like I said, you were free from righteousness. You were free from righteousness. When you was under the law, you were free from righteousness. In other words, you could be righteous. Daddy just said it right there. When you were servant to sin, you were free from righteousness. Now, another thing is we keep talking about when we're reading the Romans, it's talking about the Romans, but it's talking a lot about people under the law and so forth. That can't be the Romans. They didn't know about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not like, you know. So keep in mind, this is to everybody. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin. Why come people just can't accept that right there? We made free from sin. I just wish my sisters them could hear this. We talk about this all the time. And become servants to God. We're free from sin. Free from sin. Can we just say that? We're free from sin. How many people just say that? We're free from sin. I'm dead to sin. Like when I say this is the real me. This is going to sound real crazy. This is the real Seth. Y'all want to know the real Seth? The part of me that's born again, I've never sinned. I cry, Abba, Father. I'm one with the Most High. I know all things. The Holy Spirit talks to me constantly. I have never craved wickedness. Don't I sound crazy? But that's the real
no,
Seth.
You do not.
Hold
you
on. Hold,
make-
hold that thought, please, just for a second. That is the real Seth. On the other hand, my flesh, you got a master's degree in that. My flesh craves sin all the time. It don't matter if I'm praying. It don't matter if I'm the best I've ever felt spiritually. I don't care if I've just come out of the throne room before the Most High. The best I've ever felt, my flesh always say something like, look at that girl's butt. Or, you smart, you somebody, or you better than them, or something stupid. It don't matter. It's never saved. The problem is we keep mixing them up. There's two different cravings inside of us. We're about to read about that. Somebody had a quick comment, because we got to move on.
No, I just said I understood.
Okay, Romans 7:1, this is my favorite. And again, this is not just to know Romans. But Paul talks about himself, and he is not a Roman. Okay, I'm going to read this one, give John a break. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Who knows the law? Israel. How that a man had dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law so that she is no adulteress. Though she be married to another. So if the husband dies, she's married. and her husband dies, she marries another man, she's free to marry another man because the man is dead. The man is dead while we want to keep bringing him alive. No, you're an adulteress because your husband died, but he ain't really dead. No, if he's dead, he's dead. If he's dead, she's free from that one. We're free from being justified by the law. Now, again, once we obey the Holy Spirit, we want to please the Most High, we're going to be keeping a whole lot of laws, commandments, and it's going to be more than 613 because we love him. And people are going to look at us and they're going to say, that's when you go have somebody like James say, I can tell a believer by how they live. But really, we're not justified by what we keep. We're justified by the righteousness that's been given to us. Then we start keeping all these laws. Now we say we don't want to do this, that, and the other. It's going to look like we're keeping a law, but we're just doing it because we love him. Wherefore, my brother, and ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto the Most High. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law. What? Well, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, we are delivered from the law. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I know what somebody's going to say. Oh, man, it sounds like you advocating sin. I know. It sounds like that. Sounds like Paul saying that. That's why he keeps saying this. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taken occasion by the commandment. Sin came on and did this by the commandment. Wasn't no commandment, wouldn't be no sin. Wrought in me all manner of sin, whatever. For without the law, sin was dead. We keep reading this over and over and over. Like I say, it ain't nothing I can prove reading these scriptures. It is nothing. I'm not y'all's teacher. Don't aspire to be. The Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you into all truth. We keep reading the same thing over and over. It's just a matter of receiving it or not. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment. There it goes. He keeps saying the same thing. Deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments is holy, and just and good. He's saying it's still just and righteous stuff to not do this, not do that. But just the introduction of the law brought sin to me. Was in that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin. Law introduced sin. God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceedingly sinful. And that's where Andrew Warlack was right on time. Repeat it. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So men will know you just can't do this. You know you're going to need a savior. I'm tired of killing all these bulls and goats and lambs. That's not the Messiah. The Most High never wanted to have us live like that. If you don't believe in law and grace, just go ask the little lamb how he feel. But it's the truth. Ask the goat how they feel. We all fully know this earth together. The goat is like, hey, thank God for the Messiah. I don't mean that to be less than be facetious, but I'm very serious because in God's plan in the kingdom of the Most High, the lamb and the lion is going to live together. Now, if we're sitting up killing animals and killing this and killing that every 5 minutes because of our sin, just so we can be holy, how much sense does that make to these animals? They're somebody too. For real, for real. So we move on. Okay, 13. Was then that which is good made death? Okay, well, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I will allow not. For what I love, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. Well, Paul, what kind of things that you hate? I wonder what kind of things Apostle Paul hated. Whatever he was, he said he found himself doing some of those things. Think he liked girls, maybe? Think he might have felt a little prideful sometime? Whatever he hated, not kind of hated, little petty sins, he found himself doing. If then I do that which I would not, I consider to the law that it is good. Now, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. Wait a minute. It sounds like he's just trying to get out of sinning. That's what most people say. It sounds like he's just trying to pass on the blame. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Wait a minute, Paul, you don't know most of the Bible. You tell me you can't find a way not to sin? You can't find a way not to sin. All your intelligence, you know, in the whole law, all 613, you were this great. Come on, you can't find a way to do right. And you know what? We can't either. We can't either. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. So we can say the same thing. I, Seth, when I would do good, part of me is evil. For I delight in the law of the Most High after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. This is something different. Warring, there's a war, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The law of sin which is in my members. The law of sin which is in my members. It's in my members. This is law of sin. This law of sin. Well, didn't Christ come and die and change that? No. Yes, he wouldn't be wrestling at all. Yes, he'd be one on one accord. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? He's about to tell you what he needs to be delivered from. We know that Paul was sitting up here sinning, doing things he didn't want to do. But we know he was also craving righteousness too. He sounded like a psycho. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, or Yahweh, or the Messiah, or Waymaker, a burden bearer, all these names, our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of the Most High, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If we just receive that last eight words, we could technically end this argument and everybody go their way praising the Most High. But no, me and my family have been struggling over this for years. They just, just ain't too good. There ain't no way God gonna let some heathen in no head. We don't get it. All of us is in the same boat. That murderer and that liar and the person that just smote a rock, Moses, they're in the same boat. See, we like to do little stuff to make ourselves look good. That's the problem with man. I think that's why we like works. Did y'all know the Catholic Church, before it became the Protestant, we're considered Protestant. You know, the way we're teaching right now, this is called Protestant beliefs. But the Catholic Church, we all come out of the Catholic Church. Before Martin Luther said the just shall live by faith, they had lived on works for hundreds and maybe thousands of years. So mankind always trying to work their way. They just feel good when they doing something anybody else doing. They feel like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Look at them. They just like that. But you know what? Your righteousness is as filthy rags, as one prophet said. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, right then, this is where me and I hate to keep bringing up my sister, because she's a smart lady. I'm not trying to dog her out. But one thing she always said, well, see right there, it says that, but you're not walking after the flesh. Then. Are you reading that? I can hear that. Are you reading that? Therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So they throw away everything Paul just said and say, see, you got to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. That's what most people preach that. This is the same Paul in Romans 7 as in Romans 8. He's just saying his Spirit is the one that walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. He's going to prove it a little later on. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Yeshua, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, the Most High sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the inward man. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. He said he was carnally minded. Remember, he talked about his mind pursued to the Most High, but his flesh. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh. The last point I'm going to make, time and got away. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be it the Spirit of the Most High dwell in you. Now, if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want to give y'all some more scriptures before this line cut me off. Okay? I want to get your pen out, please. There's some more scriptures to give you. We didn't get a chance to cover them at all. I would read the rest of Romans 8. It's really beautiful. I would read Romans, I would go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3 is amazing because it's going to say at one point, if you've been born of the Most High, you can't. Now, first of all, this is going to cut off in 2 minutes, correct? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can't hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got about a minute, but we'll still be able to talk a little bit longer. It's like 60 seconds now. But I think it won't be airing, like if you try to archive it after the time runs out.
Okay, so we will still be talking, but it just won't be archived after about a minute, right? Okay, well, let me just say this to all of those listening online. There are other scriptures, Romans 14, 17, Romans 5 and 10, 1 John 3, really the whole Bible. I'm just being real. All of Paul, all of Peter, everybody has talked about justification by faith. So I'm just going to say goodbye to those listening on air right now, but there's lots of scriptures talking about justification by faith. Okay, not just Paul. You can take all Paul letters, put them out of the Bible, and you still got justification by faith. Okay, but I want us that's going to be left on here to keep the turn to. Well, let's finish reading Romans 8 since we got time, and then we got to look at 1 John because that's not even Paul speaking at all. Okay, so let's go ahead and finish with verse number. Let's just read Romans 8 and 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have the spirit of Christ, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if ye be in Christ, if Christ be in you, excuse me, the body is dead because of sin. You hear that? I love that right there. If Christ be in you, the question is, everybody on this line, are you in Christ? See, I'm beginning to believe that a lot of people in church intellectually or in the body of Christ intellectually, they're not even born again. I mean, really, do you honestly believe that the Most High, I mean, that Christ died and rose again? You got to really believe that.
Seth.
Yes.
Can I give one interruption? Just because I have to run here in a moment myself, one interruption.
Go ahead.
Okay. My interruption is this. It's specifically to you, Terry. Now, I'm listening to this, and to me, this is what I know and understand. This makes perfect sense. This